If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
The title of my message today is Faith in the Fire. Faith in the Fire. We all go through the fire. That is, we all go through difficult times. Philosophers have debated for centuries the question of evil and suffering in the world. Why do we suffer? Why do we have problems? Why is there evil in the world? Why can't life be a bed of roses? Perhaps some of us have wondered about that from time to time. The Word of God says that when man first sinned, Adam, our parent, evil was unleashed into the world along with all of its attendant ills. Jesus said in Matthew 5:45 that rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. We know by experience that that's true, don't we? The man or woman of faith must have a faith that is not just theoretical, but one that is tested by fire and is strong. Unless it's a faith that's tested, it's not worth much. Any product released into the market has first been tested to see that it is worthwhile, that it is effective. Our faith is no different. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the passage we're about to share from, were men of faith, a faith that was tested by fire. And their faith is an example for us today. If we are to live the life of faith, you know, we give a lot of lip service to faith. And I mentioned this before, but I'm going to mention it again. I even hear people talk about faith like it's this some ethereal, kind of vague, like it's some cloud floating around, some mystical thing. Well, I have my faith. What do you mean by that? Well, I don't really know, but I have my faith, you know. I just want to believe in something. I believe, hear me, church, because this is very, very important. Our faith is not mystical in the sense that it's this vague kind of undefinable cloud just floating around and we just, you know, have faith. Our faith is real. Our faith is rock solid. Our faith is in the living God this morning. It's real. Here in Daniel chapter 3, when the nation of Israel was in exile in Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar's advisors convinced him to build a statue, an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Such statues were not uncommon in that day. Some say it was an image of Nebuchadnezzar's father or Nebuchadnezzar himself. It was most likely an image of the god Nebu, whose name formed the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's own name. At the dedication, with many officials present, the command was given that when the music sounded, everyone in the kingdom was to bow down and worship the image that had been set up. The penalty for not complying was to be thrown into a blazing furnace. And so we see here that is where the faith of these three Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was tested. Let's look at their response beginning with verse number 16, Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The first thing we need to understand about having faith in the fire, you can actually, Charlie, go back a slide, is that faith and fire sometimes go together. Faith and fire sometimes go together. What do I mean by that? I mean that the notion that if we have faith in God, He is going to keep from us every fire, every trial, every major difficulty in life is just not true. We know that by experience, don't we? You can have the greatest faith in the world, in God, and yet you will go through the fire. You know, we look at the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11 that recounts heroes of the faith. And Abraham and others who did great things and God did great things on their behalf. But sometimes we forget about the second half of that chapter. It talks about people who were martyred and who suffered. And the writer to the Hebrews said the world was not worthy of them, but yet they went through the fire. They went through the difficulty. How many know that sometimes our faith to be proven needs to go through the fire? The order was given, and the king was furious with these 3 Jewish men that they would not bow to the idol that he had set up. And they gave a 3-fold reply. Notice they said in verse 16, "We do not need to defend ourselves." I love that. One would think naturally, when you're facing certain death seemingly in a blazing hot fire for not complying, the very least you can conclude is that, yes, you need to defend yourself. They knew there was no defense that they could present. But more importantly, they knew no defense was necessary. They knew their defender was in heaven. Look at the second part of their response. Verse 17, "God will rescue us." What confidence, what faith. You talk about faith. You talk about faith. They were facing a brutal end to their lives, and they said, "Our God will rescue us." They said, "Our God will come through for us. We trust Him to deliver us." Sometimes we stray pretty far from that level of faith, don't we? They were confident. Their God was a proven commodity. They said, "God will rescue us." But look at, it gets even better. Look at the third part of their response in verse 7, in the following verse. "Even if He does not rescue us, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." So it doesn't matter what the consequence is. It doesn't matter what the penalty is. It doesn't matter what the difficulty is. We're not going to bow to your idol. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to turn off the straight and narrow. We're not going to give up on God. We're not going to turn our back on Him. We are going to be faithful through the fire. Peter said, in 1 Peter chapter 4, he said this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Don't be surprised, Peter said, at the fiery trial which you're about to undergo. Faith and fire go together. Faith that is proven in the fire is a real faith. It is said that when the knights of King Arthur's court returned from the field of battle, if they did not bear in their body some scar from the battle, they were sent out by the king with the command, "Go get your scar." It was felt that no soldier could be in the battle without receiving a scar. Similarly, no Christian goes through this life without a little time in the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he had them thrown into the fire. I love this. It mentions the individual items of clothing they were wearing, their turban, their robe, their garments. Why is that detail in here? I believe it's because God wants to highlight how flammable their clothes were for the miracle that's going to come just a little bit later. You know, they didn't have fire, they didn't have asbestos clothing, fireproof clothing. And they were thrown into the fire. Why does God allow us to go into fires? The customer asked a shopkeeper one day why one set of china was more expensive than the other when they looked nearly the same. The answer was that the costlier set had more done to it because the flowers were on both sets, but the flowers on this costlier set had a yellow background. And because of that, they had to be put through the kiln twice. They had to go through the fire twice, while those with the white background only went through it once. A more costly process. A faith that is of value is a faith that has been tested in the fire. Romans 8:18 says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Romans 8:28, I preached on this a few weeks ago. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We've been studying this in our class on Wednesday night. When life is hard, turning your trials into gold. It's been a powerful, those who've been there, it's been a powerful teaching. The truth of the matter is, there are some things that God can only do in our lives when we go through the fire. There are some purposes of God for our lives that can only be fulfilled when we go through the fire of tribulation, the fire of difficulty. Faith and fire go together. Let's disabuse ourselves of the notion that if we have faith in God, we're never going to have suffering. We're never going to have difficulty. We're never going to shed some tears. We're never going to have some trials. That's just not true. But God is working His purpose out in our lives through the fire. Faith in God enables us to trust in the purposes of God in our lives, even if it means going through the fire. What's the second principle we need to understand to have faith in the fire? It's this: the furnace gets a little bit crowded. The furnace gets a little bit crowded. Look at verse 24. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Weren't there three men that we threw up and we tied up and threw into the fire?' They replied, 'Certainly, O king.' He said, 'Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods.'" The furnace was open so Nebuchadnezzar could see into it. He was amazed to see four men in the furnace instead of just the three that were thrown in. The four were walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And he said that the fourth one looked like a son of the gods. As a pagan, Nebuchadnezzar thought of the fourth being as a some sort of lesser heavenly being, an angel perhaps, sent by the all-powerful God of the Israelites. In reality, this fourth person was the pre-incarnate Christ, the Son of the living God, appearing here with the three Hebrew children. Hallelujah. It got a little more crowded in the fire because they weren't alone. God, in the form of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God was with them. Hallelujah. Here's the great thing we have to know. We can't avoid always going through the fire, but we will never, never, ever have to go through the fire alone. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, church. When the Son of God is with you, you can go through any fire, any flood, any challenge, any problem in your life because He said He will never leave you nor forsake you. You've all heard that story. Some of you may have it on a plaque at home about the man who had the dream of walking side by side with the Lord, and there were two footprints in the sand. But he noticed that at one part of his life, the most difficult parts in his life, he said there was only one set of footprints, and he said to the Lord, "How could you forsake me?" The Lord said to him, "I didn't forsake you. Where you see the one set of footprints, I was carrying you." I know it's trite. I know it may seem cliched, but the fact of the matter is, if we need to be carried through the flame, if we need to be carried through the fire, He's going to carry us. He's going to be with us. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we go through things, and listen, God can send people along to encourage us and comfort us, and what a blessing that is. But sometimes we just feel alone. We feel like no one understands. No one can feel what we feel. No one can help us bear the burdens we have to bear. But church, as believers, we need to encourage ourselves with the truth of God's Word, that Jesus Christ is with us. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Listen to this from Isaiah 43. "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Hallelujah. Though we may sometimes feel alone, God has promised never to leave us alone. You may be here today. You may say, "Pastor Tim, I feel like I'm in the furnace. I feel like I'm going through a trial and I don't see an exit door. I don't see the way to get through to the other side." But I want you to know, church, you are not alone. God is with you and God will deliver you to your destiny. Hallelujah. Go to God and say, "Lord, thank you that it's getting a little crowded in this furnace. I'm not here alone. You're with me." Hallelujah. What's the third truth we need to understand to have faith in the fire? Fires don't have to be fatal. Fires don't have to be fatal. Look at verse 26. "Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps and prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them." Hallelujah. Fires don't have to be fatal. Nebuchadnezzar had seen enough. He tells them to come out of the furnace. By the way, this is the first time in recorded history that human beings came out under their own power out of a blazing furnace. Hallelujah. They walked out. Scripture says the hair of their head wasn't singed. Their clothes made of flammable material. They weren't burned. They didn't even have the smell of smoke. Do you know how? Yes, you do. Of course you do. You know how powerful the smell of smoke is? You're just in a place where there's smoke just for a few minutes. And man, you reek, right? They didn't have this. They were in a blazing furnace, church. They had no smell of smoke on them. They didn't even get sunburned or fire burn, whatever you want to call it. Their skin color didn't change. They showed no effects of having been in the furnace. Their deliverance was complete. Fires don't have to be fatal. I know sometimes things will happen in our lives and we just go into despair. What's going to happen with my finances? What's going to happen with my marriage? What's going to happen with my health? Let me tell you this. The hotter the fire, the greater the victory. The hotter the flame, the greater the deliverance. Hallelujah. A number of years ago, Christian artist Michael English sang a song that said this: there's not a victory without a fight. There's not a sunrise without a night. There's not a purchase without a cost. There's not a crown without a cross. Jesus never promised we wouldn't have to go through the fire. We wouldn't have to bear our burdens. But he said, I will be with you and I will bring you out to the other side. You may be in a fire right now. You may be in a furnace right now. Whatever it is, church, that furnace, that fire does not have to be fatal. God will bring you out on the other side. How many believe that today, church? Come on. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Hallelujah. I believe for many of us today, the morning is coming. Hallelujah. The time of rejoicing is coming. Hallelujah. And the greater the flame, the greater the fire, the greater the victory. Hallelujah. So don't give up. Hold on. Because the Lord delivers out of the fire. Come on. Amen. What's the fourth principle we need to understand to have faith in the fire? Post-fire can be better than pre-fire. Post-fire can be better than pre-fire. In other words, we come out better on the other end of the furnace. Look at verse number 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They prospered. They were better off after their time in the furnace than they were before. The first way they were better off is they had freedom to worship God because God had delivered them. Nebuchadnezzar issued a decree which prohibited anyone from even speaking against the one true God, the living God. They had freedom to worship. Isn't that just like our God? He just turns things on their head. They were under penalty of death for being true to their God. Short time later, no one in the kingdom could even criticize their God. They had freedom to worship. I don't know if we realize the magnitude of that. God turns things on their head. It makes us better after the fire. And secondly, they had political standing. The scripture says the king promoted them, or more literally in the original, he caused them to prosper. They were held in higher esteem and more prosperous after going through the furnace. They were better off on the other side of the trial. You may be familiar with the process of refining gold or other precious metals. The gold is heated to its boiling point, and when that takes place, the impurities in it rise to the surface, and they're scooped out, and it's heated some more, and the process is repeated until the impurities are gone and the refiner can see his image in the gold. That's what God does with us in the fire. He does in the fire what can't be done any other way. He refines us. He purifies us. He makes us better through the fire. You see, you give me someone who talks about faith and has never been through the fire versus someone who talks about faith and they can say, my faith brought me through the fire. I want the faith of that second man, because that's a faith that's tested, that's proven. God doesn't allow you, and we need to understand this. We mentioned this in our Bible study. God doesn't cause everything, every trial, every problem, every fiery furnace experience. God doesn't cause everything in our lives to happen. We saw a few weeks ago from 2 Corinthians where Paul had a thorn in the flesh and he said, an agent of Satan was sent to buffet me. Not everything that happens in your life, hear me, church, is caused by God. If someone mistreats you, if someone does something to you, that's not caused by God. But God is sovereign. Amen? God allows things. You may say you're splitting hairs. I'm not splitting hairs. There's a huge difference. Not everything is caused by God, but God allows things to come into our lives. You see, whether it's Satan, whether it's a co-worker, a family member, someone we just can't get along with who does us wrong, whoever it is, God can take their ill-intended action toward you and he can use that for his purpose. So sovereign God will allow things into our lives because he will use that fiery furnace experience to refine us, to make us better on the other end. I can talk about God being my provider, but when I've been in a situation, and I have, and many of you have, where I've been lacking for a time or needed provision, and my God has come through just in time, then I can really talk about God being my provider. I can talk about God being my healer, but when I've been sick or one of my loved ones has been sick and God has healed them, God has done a miracle, as he has done for my family and I'm sure for many of yours, I can really say God is our healer. Amen. Hallelujah. When I've been, I can say that God will bring me out of a tight spot, but when I've been in a situation and there's no exit door, hallelujah, there's no way out, but God makes a way where there was no way, hallelujah, I can say God gets me out of tight spots. And there are some levels of faith, there are some places in God that we can only get to when we go through the fire. Come on. God doesn't want us, hear me, God doesn't want us to just survive the fire. He wants to refine us in it. You've heard it said, suffering will either make us bitter or better. The difference is in the letter I. As we talked about in our study, I keep referring to it. It's so powerful. Study we've been doing on Wednesday nights. The fact of the matter is this. Sometimes we short circuit what God wants to do. We don't submit to the process of going through the fire, going through the trial. And we short circuit what God wants to do and we don't receive the benefit from it. I've said several times in our study, this is not Christianity 101. This is a little more advanced level Christianity, church. But when we're going through the trial, our first thought, I get it, we're human, I'm right there with you, is why me? Lord, get me out of here. But after we get those human emotions expressed, I believe we need to pray, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, through this trial, through this fiery furnace, through this difficult experience, Lord, whatever you want to do, I submit to it. Do it in me. We sing that song, whatever you want to do, Lord, do it in me. Well, often he wants to do it through the fire. Lord, do it in me. I think of Job. When he was going through his ordeal, he said, when he, God, has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Hallelujah. Church, I can't tell you why God has allowed that fiery experience to come into your life. I may not be able to tell you exactly what he wants to accomplish through allowing that experience into your life, but I can tell you this, when you come out on the other side, you're going to be better than you were before. Amen. Listen to Isaiah from chapter 41 in verse number 10. God says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the word of the Lord to us today, church. Hallelujah. We need to have faith in the fire. We need to trust in our God. Remember, faith and fire sometimes go together. We can't avoid the fiery furnaces of life. Our faith is tested in the fire, but the furnace gets a bit crowded because Lord Jesus Christ is in that furnace with us, and he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. We need to remember that fires don't have to be fatal, that God will bring us out on the other side of that fiery furnace. And lastly, we need to remember that we're better off after the fire than we were before. When you're going through the fire, when you're going through the flood, whatever metaphor you want to use, when you're going through that trial, just remember, God, and pray this prayer, God, I don't understand what I'm going through. It's hard for me to go through it, but God, I trust you. Lord, whatever you want to do in my life through this fiery furnace experience, whatever you are making of me, Lord, I submit to it. I say, Lord, do what you want to do and prove my faith in the fire. And Lord, I know you're going to bring me out on the other side better than I was before. The book of Job says in the last chapter, chapter 42, Job was better. God blessed him more abundantly than he was blessed before he went through his experience. And God will do the same thing for you. Hallelujah. So we can have faith in the fire. We'll go through the furnace. We'll go through the difficulty. We'll go through the challenge. But God will bring us through the other side with a faith that's been tested in the fire.